On this week's episode of the Superhero Show Show, we'll find out if Invincible is ready to be a caretaker, or at least guilt his mom into doing it, if Asta and Darcy can become caretakers of a 17-year-old on Resident Alien, and if Spider-Man can take care of Mary Jane's ex-boyfriend, Hydra-Man, on Neo Genesis Nightmare Part 3. All of that and more on an all-new episode of the Superhero Show Show. What's up, nerds? Welcome to the Superhero Show Show, the only podcast that covers every live-action TV show based on a comic book, as well as some of the animated ones. My name is Cassie, and I will be your host for this episode. With me, of course, I got Ryan.
Hey, Cassie. God damn it. I'm so happy to be here. My psychiatrist, despite me explaining the way that you two treat me, has decided that I am allowed to come back on the show and speak to you two. So, good for me. You guys don't go to psychiatrists, so like you weren't learning anything about how to not treat me, but I'm still going to be here and I'm still going to do my best. And that's all that I can only control what I can control.
That's very important for you to know. But like, what were you telling, like, how were we treating you? What were you telling her? I've never seen a problem with how you're treated here.
The fact that every time I would talk on the show, you guys would dump my desk out and all of my pencils and erasers would fall on the floor.
Yeah.
The fact that every time you talked to me, you would hit a bat on your hand. That's threatening.
That's like intimidation 101. Like, that's how you get your employees to do things. Employee/friend.
Okay, so I love Judge Dredd, I guess the ultimate in future judges. If you're listening to this, please know that Cassie just admitted that she was hitting a baseball bat on her hand while talking to me at all times.
Uh-huh. I still don't see a problem with it.
Right.
Get shit done.
GSD.
I feel like Mike's been fine with it. Speaking of, I do have Mike here. Mike, have you felt like this has been an intimidating environment?
No. I'm going to be honest. I thought those erasers and pencils were going to drown Ryan, so I dumped his desk. And then I thought we were all just about to play baseball.
I love a good pencil and eraser. I'm sorry. And I don't like the eraser that's on top of the pencil. I like a separate eraser shaped in a character of my fancy that I will use to erase my pencil marks.
Who's your favorite character to be an eraser that to look at and then also then to use?
Hello, Kitty.
For both?
For both.
But like Hello Kitty doing a sport, Hello Kitty like holding a strawberry, or just like OG Hello Kitty?
I like Hello Kitty. Just slamming a baseball bat repeatedly into her hand.
That's called Goodbye Kitty, and she is dangerous.
Just threatening Kiyopi? Is that the frog's name?
You guys ever about to have sex and then look at the girl and be like, Hello Kitty.
Not about to have sex anymore.
Yeah, that's it.
And you go, Goodbye Kitty.
I'm so nervous when I'm about to have sex. All I want to do is just not have sex. You know what
all
I mean?
I want to do is leave, no matter what.
Do you feel good about it?
Kitty's nicer than Taco. Hello, Taco is a terrible character.
True.
There's no good word for genitalia.
I know.
No word. Whether it's scientific. Okay, that is.
Cassie calls the vagina scrote.
Hey, girl, let me see that scrote. You know what? I get it.
Yeah. Hey, doctor, I think there's something wrong with my scrote.
It works better in every situation, and you guys.
And
you're
the way
welcome.
That you say it, it's like playing a trumpet note. The way that you say it, the way that your embouchure is, right. The doctor knows.
Ooh, embouchure.
What body part?
I know. I don't even know what that word means.
That's a good callback to band. Callback? That's not the right.
You know it's callback.
Right, I'm calling back to my freshman year of high school. When I had an embouchure.
When your band director said, here's how an embouchure fits around a scrote.
I had a weird band director.
Tonight, you guys... on this podcast, guess what we're talking about? Just kidding. I don't care what you think. We're going to be talking about Resident Alien, The Ones Who Live, The Walking Dead. But before we get to all of that, we're going to dive into our main event where we're talking about Invincible. On episode 5 of season 2 of Invincible, Mark has decided to stay on Thraxa to help rebuild it, but is then tasked to raise his brother and take him back to Earth. Once back on Earth, Mark tries to catch up with everyone, but is quickly sent on another mission because there is a Martian ship packed full of sequids coming to Earth to use the human race as their hosts. Meanwhile, Ray and Kate get killed by the Lizard League, Donald learns he has a robot body, and Alan is fully recovered and is now just as strong as the Viltrumite. Taste buds, I ask you, who has the worst mission? The group who went to attack millions of Martian squid things, or Mark's mom who unexpectedly had to raise an alien baby?
Let's get to Mark's mom. This is fucking insane. Like, she is. The way that this show does, this episode does her thing. I love this show. Is,
yeah.
We're not going to do a full Iron Man. What was it called? Like, the man in the bottle or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're not going to
drag. Demon in the bottle.
We're not going to drag her through AA. But we have a very familiar shot in this episode, along with the rest of the episodes, of her opening that cupboard and grabbing a glass of wine. And she, for once, decides not to. And she puts the glass of wine back and then is tasked with raising her ex-husband's alien son.
Lying, murderous.
Piece of shit.
Abandoning ex-husband.
Super villainous.
And now she has to raise a purple half bug.
But the reason that, Mike, there will always be a patriarchy and not a matriarchy is because what's his name? The dad?
Nolan
can go around and fucking fuck whatever he wants and not give a shit. But people like Mark's mom will always end up raising the kid. They always will. Mark knows that. Mark, is this on Mark?
This is a little, like, I had to remind myself that Mark is 18. Because he's being kind of a piece of shit. Because when he's like, I guess I could drop out of college.
Should I, Mom? I don't know.
Raise my infant half-brother. Okay, Mark, you think Deb's going to let you do that? Our Deb, our sweet Saint Deb, she's going to let you drop out of college? Even though he doesn't need college.
Yeah, that's probably not on. He doesn't need to go play for Northwestern or whatever the fuck. But like, there is probably, we can't see it because it's a cartoon, but in real life, in the world that they're living, I'm sure Deb is looking at that baby and seeing half Nolan every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the little, I forget the little brother's name, and they haven't named him in the show yet, so that's not my fault. He looks like Mark.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So much. So yes, it's going to remind her of Nolan and of sweet dead bug lady.
Who she never knew. But it was messed up because it was like, so he's been gone for 2 months Earth time. And so she was like just trying to survive during that time. And as soon as he comes back, he's like, guess what? Here's a burden.
Hey, Mom, how are you? Cool. Anyway,
I understand their reasonings, but they should obviously give it to Cyril. I'm sorry, him. They should give the baby to Cyril.
Do you think but can we trust Cyril?
No, that means that the baby is now going to be used for America or the planet, but probably America's best benefit.
Dope.
I forgot about survivalist MAGA Mike who
Cartoon USA. Cartoon USA.
Yeah, we have that all going on. And then it's while he was gone, Earth also had some issues. We didn't dive too much into it, but a lot of the protectors or whatever almost died, I guess.
Yeah. The Guardians of the Globe almost died, but also that's we saw that happen when Mark was around. So I am on Mark's side here. It's okay, who gives a shit? That's the kind of their job, man.
Yeah. What was confusing is he went back to Earth, dropped off this baby, and was like, cool, I'm just going to go back to college after 2 months of not being there.
Oh my God. Fucking. Who's the guy from Book of Mormon?
Andrew Reynolds.
Andrew Reynolds is like, no, it was really hard to cover you. It was really hard. And he was like, why did you cover for me for 2 months?
Yeah.
I was a college student who was gone for 2 months and you couldn't cover for me.
You can't cover somebody to the point they're not on it. What, do his homework, go to his classes?
No, Mike, sex doll with a Mark Grayson wig. That's what you do. You sit that next to you and the
Lars
teacher's going to be so fucked
shit.
Up. Yeah. You Lars and the real girl, that shit. The teacher's going to be so confused that they will not ask questions.
I do like that William, Andrew Reynolds' character, took all of Mark's posters down. He's like, he's gone. Who knows if he's dead? I get a solo room now.
And Mark's last thing before he says, I have to go back to space again, put all my posters back up. No, dude, your poster of what, fucking space dog?
Science dog.
Science dog. Shut the fuck up, Mark Grayson.
But the government will pay him. What is he trying to study? I would love to know what Mark thinks he's going to get out of college. I believe in a humanities background for everybody. STEM kids need it more than anybody else, so they don't just write destructive algorithms. But what's Mark going to need? Political science? Fuck you.
Fuck you, bro.
I mean, we all went to college, even though we were going to become podcast superstars. So
yeah,
it's true.
I mean, I do think that like this is just a trying to glom on to the fact that this is Peter Parker Redux, you know. And so, like, if we don't have these problems back at home that all of the watchers of the show deal with, then we're losing the thread.
I guess and this isn't what we do here, but the government's paying for it. He would still have problems with Debbie and Amber. He would still have at home problems without Foe trying to be in college. I would have an episode of him trying to get through class. I want to know what Mark wants to study.
So it's like The Sopranos, where he has to be a mob leader and then also deal with therapy and then his at home raising a family life. But yes. Then Tony Soprano also has to go to college classes as well. Like, oh, man. Can we eliminate one of these things?
No, I think The Wire's biggest failing is we didn't see more of Stringer Bell at community college.
Do you remember that one cop looking in that classic college window that all classes have and seeing Stringer Bell like listening and studying and like
laughing at
it. Good point. I'm going to write that down.
Do you think they could be doing something where like, so he is our good guy. He's better than his piece of shit dad. Like, he has humanity. Do you think that they still need us to show that, like, he still hurts people in his own way? Like, he hurts his mom with his kid. He's hurting his girlfriend by just...
Living,
existing.
By not breaking up with her. Yeah, I mean, I think...
Do you know,
like,
how he hurts Amber? Is by hugging Eve the way he hugs Eve.
Yeah. But also, I will point out one very important part of this episode, which I have seen a lot, and the girls did not know that I was watching this, where I leave, and they're like, oh, no, don't leave. And then the second I leave, Amber's like, hey, what are you guys doing tonight? Because I don't give a fuck that guy just left.
I hope Amber gets raw dogged. She deserves it.
Amber is about to party and forget about Mark.
She's in college. Yeah, they should both break up with each other.
She's in college, and like the reason why you break up with most college or like high school boyfriends is because their life is too small. Yes. Also, Mark's life is too big.
Yes.
Get out of it and like fuck some dude who like hacky sacks, you know?
You got to get that out of your system.
You'll never do it a second time.
You know you don't want to, but you're like, well, here's my college checkoff list.
I can't get my degree without this, so...
That's Chekhov's hacky sack. Is that
it in the first act. Now we got to fuck him.
All right, so this mission he leaves for is there's these Martian squid-like
sequids.
Things. Sequids. Sure. Do we... Like, is this going to be... Well, it is... like a cliffhanger at the end of this. So do you think it's going to be like a huge thing, or you think we get a two-parter with just these little...
Good question, Cassie. But before we get to that, I have to say that watching these two battles, this is sort of George Lucas-y in that I'm going to bore you for 2 hours, and then the last 30 minutes is going to be fucking intense, because I'm going to cut back and forth between the two wars that are going on, or the four wars if, you know, it's Phantom Menace. Cutting back and forth between Mandzukas's war.
Rexplode versus the Lizard League.
Versus the Squidberts that they were fighting. Spectacular editing, directing, writing. Like, I was on the edge of my seat in a way that like TV hasn't done for me in a long time.
We often talk about how bored we are by plot in other shows, and the plot's pretty dope in Invincible, guys.
No. Like, I will always be a fan, again, because Kirkman, or the creators of the show who are aping Kirkman, they're aping Peter Parker. So, like, I'm always going to be in for the soap opera-ness of it. But the last 20 minutes of this episode were fucking thrilling. And the Squidberts, what are we calling them?
Sequids, but I like Squidberts.
Yeah, I don't want their real name, Mike. I want, what are we calling them?
Squidwards?
Squidwards. The Squidwards attacking in such a way where like they just don't have an answer, or they do have an answer, but it's temporary.
It's punch one at a time? Come on, guys. Yeah. At least try to do the Superman, I'm a fucking cyclone now.
There's one guy who's like, his big power is like he's got a big arm. He's like, all right, here we go. Punch one, punch two. That's not going to work, bro.
When they like shock, the like dude in the suit shocks and stuns all of them for a long time, and they just one by one still punch him. I'm like, you simply can't. Like, they're down and you're still one by one just punching them.
robot is like, I need 5 minutes. And they're like, oh no, be fucking superheroes. I do like in this world, like everybody's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
As superhero.
But like robot is doing the thing, right? As if he was Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett?
And then Eve is doing her thing of protecting the shield, and the rest of them are like, standing. Go Eve. Hey Eve.
You can do it.
You can do it.
It's maybe
it's just a bunch of Rob Schneiders out there.
They split the group in a way to let the heroes who stayed on Earth know they suck, and then the show showed us they do suck. Because the Lizard League, come on, they are small potatoes.
Who is the person that? Because Robot got sent up, right? Robot was not supposed to go up, and then he said, no, but like my shit would actually help. And so then the captain sent him up. I wonder if the big thing for next episode is that if Robot had stayed down,
because he's the strategist,
people wouldn't be dead. Because we haven't got to that yet.
Kate, Shrinking Lady, and Rexplode are the three who get stayed at home. They could have used... There's like four guys with Invincible's powers on that team now. They're all in the alien spaceship. They could have used one of them on Earth.
And if my superpower is that hash browns grow out of my arm, I could use maybe an Invincible person to be with
me. Give
me
bulletproof.
To like,
There's... Mike, you seem to know more about the Lizard League. The one beefy boy, like he was
He
out
does
there,
a lot of damage.
He does some damage. Including...
Nat 20s.
When Ray shrinks down, goes inside of his body, and he just like muscle compresses her. I don't know what the freak out.
It just doesn't let her.
Her plan was to do the Thanos thing.
Yeah.
But I think what Invincible is showing is she tried to grow and then hit his very strong muscles and could not grow no mo until she probably snapped her own neck.
And then with Duplicate, she kept duplicating and was doing a good job, except he grabbed the two
OG.
And then slam them together, and like I've seen guys I cannot tell you how much fucking superhero shit I have seen in my life. My minutes recorded as far as watching superhero shit, but the deaths of Duplicate and
Ray shrinking
and this fucking monster doing it, like that was fucking hardcore.
It was intense.
I feel like this show has showed us that Duplicate keeps her OG somewhere off site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would do in D&D, right? It's just like, keep your real person somewhere else.
You really would do that in D&D. That's not a like, oh, well, that's what I would do. You've done that. And so maybe she's not dead, but it hit hard. And I like all of the forced growth Rexplodes going through in this episode.
And like what you really need, like if Duplicate dies or if Shrinking Ray dies, what you really need is Rexplode's reaction of wait, no, because they always go into everything thinking that they're going to win and it's going to be easy. And for him to look at them dying and be like, holy fuck, this is serious. And also, I'm probably going, like, I just watched my friends die, my teammates die. And also, I'm about to die, which is weird because they also, the only reason that they're the guardians of the
globe
is because Owen killed the original team. But still.
Yeah.
To watch people die is fucking nuts, even in their job.
Right. And they...
Sorry, you probably have a better point. You go to it, and then I'll ask my dumb question. So
no, ask
your
dumb question, please.
Perfect. Was I dumb to think, like, be surprised that they killed these characters? Or is it, like, do they commonly kill big parts of the team?
I think that's... Invincible is the whole, like... Even though it's fantastical and big in superheroes, it's from the 2000s, like, everything's more grounded and real. So, yeah, more people are going to die. And I do think it showed, like, Immortal was trying to train them, because none of them were on the Guardians of the Globe real level. They just filled a vacuum that needed to be filled and need training, but we saw some of them taking it seriously, and some of them were like, fuck that, I don't want to be trained. That's Rexplode. Who's just Gambit, right?
Flawless.
No, he's the guy from the League.
Rafi. No, but I'm saying he has the powers
the guy
of
from,
Gambit.
What's that podcast?
Powers of Gambit. Gotcha.
Oh, gotcha.
Not creepy.
I know he's Jason Mantzoukas and not whoever played Remy LeBeau.
You've pissed Mike off in this instance.
Oh, but you asked me about the Lizard League. Going back, it's I don't know. I'm not super familiar with Lizard League, but everybody has this.
He is.
Yeah.
It's the Serpent Society in Marvel.
It's six dorks and a Hulk.
They're not lizards, but it's the Royal Flush Gang in DC. It is like, who is the doofus fucking supervillains we show in any cold open to show the hero can beat them easily before we get to the real villain.
Gotcha.
And these guys were that, and then we watched King Snake, or whatever he calls himself, take over and make them actually better, which is interesting. And I'm sure there's other versions of it, but now the heroes are like, oh shit, I have to take the jokes seriously.
Mm. Yeah, and then this episode ends on the cliffhanger of like all the squid billies, or whatever the fuck we're calling them, they're like overpowering all of them. They're in a shitty situation. And Rex got his hand bit off and might die. That's how we left it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Intense.
Yeah. I mean, if Rex dies, I'm sad for like the world of the show, but I'm so excited to not, as much as I love him, hear Jason Mantzoukas' voice for another week.
Rude.
That is it for the episode, though. So let's go to moments of the week. Ryan, what do you got?
Oh, I have a couple. Anti-moment of the week is that mom giving her, that old aging bug mom, giving her half bug, half Viltrumite son to Mark, saying, no, he'll have a better life with you, and then hugging him for the last time. Fuck that. Fuck this show. Fuck TV. Fucking hate it. I'm done.
Why?
I'm out.
Why did you not like that, Ryan?
I don't like pop culture anymore.
Fair enough.
But my other one is the old guy with Alan the Alien at the end to rip off his beard, but yeah, there's still to be a mustache. Because Viltrumites fucking roll one way, and that's to always have the mustache.
It's so fucking funny to make truly dangerous, scary villains also super goofy.
We forgot to talk about that, but at the very end, we get Alan essentially like in this little machine thing. It brought him back to life, and the dude, whoever it was, he's got a name,
he's the king of like the Intergalactic Council or whatever that we've seen a couple times.
But he's like this weird one-off Never Trumper Republican who's like, you know what? I think that Viltrumites are bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the one.
He's the one single one. Mike Pence.
And he's like, hey, you're as strong as a Viltrumite now. And also, guess what? I'm a Viltrumite again, still has the mustache. And then he recruits him to go get invincible so they can take down the Viltrumites or something. Who knows?
I wanted to watch the next episode.
Yeah. It's been so long since I've read the comics. Are we getting the Viltrumite War pretty quickly? Like,
I think
quicker than the comics did?
I think there's a classic thing of like three seasons is all every TV show gets.
Yeah. Especially
now.
So
let's get to the good stuff.
Mike, back to moments of the week. What is yours?
I got two. It's Shape Smith, who has been a secret Martian. He's trying to confess, and Sissel interrupts him and says, we know you're a Martian. He's like, what? He's like, we've all known.
And then the other guy was wait, you guys all knew?
Yeah, everybody but him. And having him go to his own plot, and he's like trying to put it together. He's like, oh my God, but everybody else fucking knows. It's very funny. And then there's a Rexplode line who said, he says, I realize this is out of character, but I have an idea. And then he realizes Eve will be very helpful. So he goes, and this is like his biggest moment of growth is with Eve and telling her why she should be a hero and how he's fucked up throughout his life.
Despite sneaking into her room and just so many boundaries crossed. For Mike's first moment of the week, I wrote it down. The Martian guy. I was born a baby Martian born on the planet Mars. That's his big reveal.
Benny Schwartz.
I was going to say, this is Benny Schwartz, and they casted it perfectly.
You guys might know him as Sonic the Hedgehog.
Of course.
Or Leonardo. It's weird because he's playing a character who's not blue related.
Yeah.
So that is odd.
My moment of the week is when Mark is still on Thraxa and he's rebuilding, and for some reason to rebuild they put him in this tiny little skirt outfit thing.
Yeah.
Fucking wears it so well. That should be his outfit the whole time. Moment of the week, killing it.
Oh, I have one more.
Yeah.
When they say, no, Mark, we're gonna send you home. We're gonna send you home to your center for learning and drink. Those are the two things you need to be sent home for.
Invincible is on Amazon Prime on maybe Thursday, maybe Friday, who knows. It's on Amazon Prime though, go check it over there. Mike, you mentioned you have a website, I believe.
Yeah, I've been working on it for a bit alone, and now it's time to reveal it to you guys. It's called bestdinosaur.com. And you go here,
I'm out.
Ouch. Well, it's not for everybody. Not everything needs to be for everybody.
Well, I mean, but like, we're going to help pay for it, me and Cassie. And thank already you. One of the sharks has said,
and I'm already
I'm out.
Like, okay, you well, should she's tailor the poor it to one. Me. Well, fair enough. All right. Yeah,
so
talk
I'm
to
going
money,
after
bags
money bags
over here.
So it just is a box that says, what do you think the best dinosaur is? And the person types in, and then the website roasts them and tells them why they're so fucking wrong.
Cool website, bro. But I already have the answer. As one of the biggest sharks involved, it's Stegosaurus with more outside teeth than any other dinosaur.
Okay. That's a great answer. Stegosaurus, it used to be everybody's number one, and then they found Triceratops, which really took the shine of the Stegosaurus, and that's horseshit. Stegosaurus rules.
And I believe that Stegosaurus does have that Godzilla power of when they're upset, electricity just flows through their outside bones.
It goes up the mohawk of outside bones, and then they get to shoot it out.
But no, they're all birds.
Okay.
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 I've never seen a bird with a fucking bone mohawk.
I've never seen a bird eat so many chicken wings.
I've never seen a bird eat so many chicken wings. No bird. That's too many chicken wings.
I mean, that's what you would say to a bird that was eating too many chicken wings.
Yeah, also, you fucking weird-ass cannibal. That's like you walking into my... You're like, hey, guys, come over. And I'm just chowing down on an orangutan. It's like, fucking weird.
Somebody who would, like, host a feathered one to a dinner party and then cook chicken for them?
Fucked up.
Monsters.
Mike, quick question for you, kind of behind the scenes for this website. Are you typing in live these answers to it? Because I'm assuming this is all coming straight from you.
Right now, it is basically, I was going to say chatbot, that's not true. Right now it's basically just a text website. And I can't do this anymore. I wish I knew how to work WordPress, because that's where I would probably put it.
Well, speaking of, hey, if you don't know WordPress, I know some guys who do. That's Cybersprout.
What?
Speaking of, hey.
Horses. Yay. Cybersprout.net, though, is going to help you out. They're specifically designed for WordPress. They also work hand-in-hand with you. They focus on collaboration, goal-driven design, and they make sure your website gets to the right customers. Dinosaur freaks, I guess. They have easy-to-edit fields, custom templates. Fucking Cybersprout.net, Mike. Your partner for a digital world. Look at that dinosaur you're holding up right now.
People who see dinosaurs and they're like, I'm going to jerk off right now, and then fall asleep.
Hell yeah, those are my... Well, ew, gross.
And on that note, let's go to the poll list. Welcome to the poll list, where we cover every other show that came out this week. First up is The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Lived.
This week on The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live.
Just making a meal out of
Rick and Michonne are pretending to be strangers as they search for a way to survive under the eyes of the Civic Republic Military. Taste buds, I ask you this. Is there anything sexier and more horned up than pretending to be strangers when people don't know you actually know each other?
Every time my wife does that, she just fucks other people.
Oh. Yeah.
So hot, right?
I guess.
You can also do that.
And
if you had game.
I should say to the audience that JenniferFucks.com is hosted by Cybersprout, and that has drop and drag... fucking bullshit. My wife's name is Jennifer.
Oh, cool.
That's it. And her last name is Fox. Most people pronounce it Fuchs, I think.
No, it's Fox.
Oh, that's my fault.
The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Lived, is Sundays on AMC. Next up, let's talk about Resident Alien.
On this week's episode of Resident Alien, even more citizens of patients are getting dangerously close to learning that there are aliens. Darcy learns that Mayer really was abducted when he was a kid, but promises not to tell him, but then tells him. Meanwhile, Kate and Deputy Liv bond over the fact that they have also most definitely been fucked with. But we can talk about all of that later. Taste buds, I ask you this. Where does Harry and Heather, rhymes with feather's kiss at the dinner party rank on the list of all-time TV's greatest kisses?
Number three, at least.
Oh, what's number one and two, Mike?
Stegosaurus. Kisses.
Fuck, I'm so tired of asking Mike any question, and he just sits there, and he's like, Stegosaurus.
Stegosaurus. You get a glimpse into young Mike, all the teachers trying to teach him, and he'd just be like, Stegosaurus.
So, Mike, just tell me about what you think that your three greatest qualities are.
Stegosaurus. I'm out.
Let me know when I have to fill up my W-2s, bitches.
And yet I keep getting hired. No, it is. I can't. I guess maybe Cory and Topanga. Topanga shoving Cory up against the lockers and kissing him against his will.
Ew.
That's a great one. I know. Problematic now. But back then, we were like, woo!
Did you, when you watched sitcoms as a kid, did you try to imitate all of the canned laughter and ooze?
I didn't try to imitate. I didn't know there was one the first time I watched other sitcoms because I was making all those same noises at that
same
time.
You were just doing it.
He was coming in at the same exact
time.
Mike, this was, I feel like that we've been talking about Alan Tudyk and Edie Patterson on the same show for a while, but I feel like this was the peak, the apex, the holy shit, what the fuck did we just watch?
There were so many great moments this episode that I was like, there's Judy Gemstone, but almost none more.
Or your bean dips, if you will.
Your bean dips if you're nasty. But right there, that was, yeah, it was peak TV. I think everybody says the golden age of television is gone, and I say nay. Watch Resident Alien.
Did the, and I forgot to look up who the director is, but did the director just say, like, leave the cameras rolling?
Let them
and watch these two people put tongues in places that no tongue has ever been.
It was a graduate moment for sure.
Cassie, did you watch this?
I didn't, and
do you want to watch it now?
I'm immediately going home and watching this.
The way
does it help, Cassie, if right before they did this, they sprinkled bird seed on the table and Edie Patterson mouthed it up without using her hands, and then they made out like that.
Well, it's because Darcy made a chicken, or Asta made a chicken, and they walked into the smell of dead heather.
And she knew instantly. Yeah. I don't know if I walked into a room if I'd be like, are you cooking human?
Yeah.
Is that long pork I smell?
Long pork? Is that what you call your wiener?
That's what I call my wiener, and that's what I call when you eat people.
Gross. Yeah, this is every once in a while, we got short glimpses of like why they cast Edie Patterson, like when they were talking, like she used to talk his language in the previous episode, but now, yeah, I absolutely have to go watch this.
And the episode opens with like Superman style, her flying him around, and it is so cheesy and hilarious. They're holding hands, it's cute. They're like kicking over little kids, freeing birds.
God, yes.
I hope she doesn't actually leave. I hope she stays on the show.
It's the best show on television, for sure.
Did we have...
We also get, because of this relationship, Harry admitting he... Nobody has asked. And he's admitting he had sex somewhere. And then giggles and denies that he had sex there.
And so but the problem is, Mike, do you think that this is like a 2.5, nay, 1.5 star show? Because we never get to watch that fucking man-shaped alien and that fucking bird-shaped alien go at it so hard.
I've been getting better at drawing for a reason.
Yeah. Practice drawing and make your own porn.
I also regret that I didn't watch this week's episode to help lead this, to get you guys away from here.
Because if you had watched it, we could have like actual conversations about
the show. We could really get into this, and now I'm just sitting here.
Just ask random questions.
How was your day?
No, about the show, dum-dum.
Oh, of course. Do we have anything going on with our girl, Darcy, after her whole revelation?
There's a great Darcy moment where she says, we are not having fun. Like, she's, like, upset Harry has a girlfriend and they're, like, trying to get rid of Heather. She's like, we are not having fun. We are choosing to be single until we save the world. And Asta's reaction to that of, oh, that's why we're single, was very good. And Darcy, and this is why this is actually a complex and great show, not just a silly fart show, is she's like, well, I have to tell Ben. This is for Ben. But no, she doesn't want to feel useless. And she, having lied to everybody who says she won't tell Mayor Ben anything, she tells him he was abducted for her. It's just for her.
Right.
Because it makes her feel better.
Darcy has to go and tell Ben, even though Mayor's name is Ben.
I was going to say, that was
I know,
my
that's why I said Mayor Ben after. His wife's name is Kate. A few weeks ago, I very confidently said Sarah. That's right. I know her name. And it wasn't. It's Kate.
You were probably thinking of the deputy, Liv. Yeah. That Darcy has to go and tell Ben this stuff. But when Asta says, I forgot to tell you, but my daughter, my real blood daughter, who I gave up for adoption, is going to move in here. She just has nothing. And then she sort of uses it a little bit to her advantage to say, like, oh, now we're getting a cat. But it's still like Darcy is a weird, complicated person.
But also, like, I get Darcy's point, like, morally, but Asta is related to a cat. That's fucked up, Darcy. Did I say related? I meant allergic.
Oh, okay. Related would be a different show.
That's, well, it would be this show if Asta was an alien.
If any of the shows.
My mode of the week is a question. If you were related to a cat, would you fuck it?
Don't look at me when you ask that.
No, because that's incest.
Gross. I agree. You mentioned that everyone in the town is possibly or getting on to the idea that there might be aliens.
Yeah. We're going X-Files here, and like everybody's on the path of figuring it out.
Is it just like they're all coming to, like, Harry's getting too sloppy, or like just...
No. These fucking freaks have been being abducted since they were seven.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of starting to remember being told, or... Kate is, who's the mayor's wife, of course, Mayor Ben. She's starting to remember putting things together. Liv, I don't remember this. I feel like this season, Liv has just always been like, and there's aliens.
Uh-huh.
But like, if you abduct one person in Patience, then you can go somewhere else. But they abducted all of the major characters in Patience, and that's a bad idea, aliens.
But again, you know the people here. Like, if I was going to abduct a town and I saw how weird this entire town was, I'd want this whole town too.
Yeah.
That's a good
I
want
to hang out
with
them.
Yeah. Should we go to Moment of the Week?
Yeah.
Ryan, what's yours?
My Moment of the Week is, of course, when the Harry and Heather, which rhymes with feather, come into the dinner party, and they immediately scream how they just fucked in a tree, I believe. And somebody says, hey, you should probably wash your hands before dinner. And they defiantly say, I will never wash my hands. I will never wash my hands. And I, like, that's fucking punk rock, bro.
Is it nice to be seen on screen, Ryan?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Those are my people.
Mike, what's your moment of the week?
Mine is actually a Mayor Ben moment.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
And we used to hate Mayor Ben. I think they're learning. He's learning. Everybody's learning. Max is a real piece of shit, right? Max is his kid. He did not do his science project, so Mayor Ben is making his suspension bridge out of toothpicks. And Kate's like, what are you doing? He's like, a little father-son bonding, and then the bridge breaks, and he goes, a whole day wasted. And that made me laugh a lot, because fuck Max. Even his dad doesn't want to hang out with him.
Despite the fact that he's reading a comic book?
Yeah.
You never read a comic book while your parents did your project?
Oh, man. To have a parent even know what class I was in. What a dream. I mean, I think I turned out great, so I don't give a shit, but that's a different world than I lived in.
Mike's basically a perfect human being, an example of a perfect human being, so...
That's every kid should be a latchkey kid.
Yeah. You tell the people.
Cheers.
Resident Alien is Wednesdays on Sci-Fi. That's everything that came out this week. Next up is S-Tasmania. Welcome to S-Tasmania, bitch, a mini show within a show where we take an in-depth, episode-by-episode look at Fox's seminal and underrated afternoon cartoon of the mid-90s, Spider-Man the Animated Series. This week we're covering Neogenic Nightmare, Chapter 3, and for some reason, we start off in a carnival. Yeah, we start off in a carnival, and Spidey is just hanging out at it and reading a newspaper, because that's what you do at a carnival.
Well, he's not a goyle. You know, he loves a goyle, right? Like, he's... thinking about reflecting on the weekend, and he's like, oh, what's up, Gargoyle? I'm going to sit on you for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at this carnival. I bet no purse snatching will happen here.
Yeah, it definitely does. He easily takes that person out. It's so easy that he has time just to complain and be a little bitch about how, like, wow, I should probably take a human being to the carnival instead of just being a sad little bitch at the carnival.
Or maybe I should fucking stop complaining, because if... six villains or so hear me complaining, they might team up and fight against me.
Mm,
yeah, he's acting like his life is so easy. He just had the roughest fucking week of his life.
Yeah. Like, he has all this time for the carnival, which I guess he's making the time. The carnival is very important to him, is what I learned this episode.
How did he... So, the carnival, as Cassie calls it, is Coney Island, which is a permanent carnival.
Interesting.
At the bottom of Brooklyn, Why would he get there? There's nothing to swing off of. How? How did he end up so far out of Manhattan?
The Goyle. You follow the Goyles.
You follow the Goyles.
The Goyles, of course. I guess this well-known Coney Island, as you would say, there's an aquarium there.
Oh, yeah. I love the fact that it's the trashiest.
I can't attest to that.
The trashiest, like, throw the balloon at the dart game. Uh-huh. And then right next to it, a state-of-the-art aquarium.
Aquarium with, like, pearls inside of clams the size of your fucking head.
So confusing. Like, I wasn't sure if this was an exhibit to shit. Like, if we were in a store and they were like, fuck it, throw fish to sell these pearls. Or if it was an aquarium and this aquarium was like, fuck it, throw these pearls.
I think that's
there.
Just New York, baby. We're like, right here, there's like a trashy Ferris wheel. And then right next door is the state-of-the-art aquarium of your dreams.
That's
baby.
True. You walk into like what you think is a normal clothing store, and then there's just like a naked person and people are eating sushi off of her. Like, it's a weird town.
Mike, I've never been to New York, but like, correct me if I'm wrong. You see a the worst hot dog stand you've mm-hmm. ever seen before, and then right next door is this fucking greatest hot dog stand museum of all time.
Yeah.
Tribute to the greatest hot dog stands that the man's eyes ever seen.
You'll see a piece of shit, giant pile of garbage, and then you'll see right next to it a museum to the prettiest, most historically significant garbage you've ever heard of.
God, remember when Francis Ferdinand tripped
the man with all the powder kegs?
She tripped on fucking hot dog garbage piece of shit and then started World War II.
Yeah.
One? World War One. One. And that is a museum in New York. Oh, God. What? The Big Apple. The Big Apple.
Big Apple. Magical. The Windy City.
We see what it's like for people living in this, specifically the two security guards who are tasked to keep these pearls safe in a town full of crime.
This one guy, the older and shittier guy, says, $2 million in rare pearls sitting like seeds in a glass of lemonade.
Do you ever want to think about the fact that you sound like a fucking chud in the first scene of an episode there, security guard? Do you ever want to even consider that?
What a weird analogy. I know it's hard to come up with new analogies that stick, but nobody says...
Because he has to do that every night to every new partner, every rookie partner.
So, of course, while they're on this shift, something does come. It's like coming through the water to steal these pearls. It busts through the aquarium, and Spider-Man's like, gotta go over there. All he does is save one fish. There were more fish in that tank, but he saves one, puts it back in the water, and then goes to try to find this person. And he can't find him. It seems like the person has disappeared.
Whoa, what?
Amazing.
He does get knocked into the water, and then the eels go after him, as eels are wont to do.
They will. He does fall in the absolute worst tank at an aquarium. Like, any of the tanks, I don't want to fall into the one with the giant-ass eel.
Oh, no. I want pillowfish, the kissiest fish around. They love you, and you can see hearts above their head. Eels is borderline, as far as my youth goes, quicksand and piranhas. As far as, like, if you're around them, you're fucking dead. You're just dead.
And they're probably friends with the sea witch.
And also, think about the first syllable of eel. Ew.
Ew.
Yeah, that's gross.
And because security guards are morons, they see his little head and he goes, help, help, I'm drowning. And they go, Spider-Man did it.
Spider-Man's responsible for all. I have read some recent newspapers that the most trustworthy man I've ever met, J. Jonah Jameson, has put out. And Spider-Man is responsible for all
of this. Have we talked about the one-to-one? What is the Daily Bugle? Because it's not the New York Times. It's not the old gray lady. So the Daily Bugle is what? Like the New York Post?
Well, good question, Mike. And I really do think that it changes according to the franchise that we're talking about.
Sure.
So with like original AMS comic books, I do think that it is the New York Times.
Look, I have problems with the Times, but they are not that biased.
And have somebody in charge of the front page like this. Of just like on a whim. Just be like, watermelons, terrible. Watermelons. It's accosting the city.
That's so the Post is Murdoch run, and that's why I think it's probably always been the closest to the New York Post.
Right, and the Post is like borderline it's like a local tabloid, right? Like
it's not quite Bat Boy.
But it's National Enquirer.
It is gossipy bullshit.
And you can tell because they always try to have the most clever. If you're spending that much time on the headlines, then you're not spending that much time on writing the article.
I think John Mulaney has a great bit to the New York Post. All babies are angels. Like he has a whole breakdown of vocabulary the Post uses to manipulate us.
So yeah, we get all of that, and then when we go outside and Spider-Man doesn't see the guy, but we as the audience get to see these two hands hold up the pearls to a portrait or a picture of Mary J, who's just on a bench.
She's on a, it's on a bus stop, like a bus stop ad. She is
advertising what though?
Water?
Water. Mary Jane is in the midst of like the biggest water campaign of all time, and that is so important.
Mid-90s, bottled water is new. We're trying to convince people to drink it, so put a hottie up there.
Mary Jane is advertising water brand water, brought to you by water, and that's what a good week for Hydro Man to come in here.
Yeah, and he holds up the pearls to the bus stop ad and says, "It's all for you, Mary Jane." Yeah.
When you guys, we can get to this later, but when you guys heard Hydro Man talk, did that match the body that we eventually saw?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. It's a big, chud, dumb voice.
Yeah.
It absolutely did.
And he has a double chin, which, you know, representation. We haven't seen that in this show.
God, as it's, podcasters it's nice that nobody's looking at, we have nary a double chin.
No, I was just going to say, it's so nice because, like, people are like, double chin, that means you're fat everywhere. It's so nice to have a guy who looks like normal neck down, but still have a double chin no matter what he does. Yeah.
Is that nice, Mike?
It's so rare to see me.
We then cut to a diner. Peter's there. Mary Jane joins him, and Peter's just giving her the photos because I guess he took them for the ad. I don't fully know what's happening here. But then, like, this waitress comes over and is like, "Hey, you got a phone call?" And it turns out to be this dude with the pearls.
Hey, Mary Jane, somebody called the diner to talk to you.
Hey, that was the 90s. You know. We didn't have phones.
Yeah.
People just guess where you might be.
I think this is even pre-pager. So it's like, maybe I should try her at the diner that she eats at once every 3 months.
Well, this is, my guess is Liz Allen, but this is her friend Liz, where we slowly learn. But before the phone call, she's telling Peter she can't go to Coney Island because her career is taking off.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, she is the spokesperson for Water Brand Water, and that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. Nobody
Despite
else
the
is.
Fact that Peter took those pictures, so his career should be taken off as well.
Mm-hmm. And he was on Nobody the front cares. Page. His photo was. It just doesn't matter. But it's known bad bitches can't go to Coney Island. It wrecks their image, so you absolutely can't.
Is this how New York worked, Mike? Yeah? Okay.
This is
Except
it.
For once a year when there's the Mermaid Parade. Then it's only bad bitches at Coney Island.
Bad bitches.
So Coney Island works much like I thought the sea does. Of just bad bitches or mermaids.
The sea.
The sea. You know the sea, right?
Yeah. So Mary J gets this phone call. She instantly knows the voice. It's Maury to her, I think is his civilian name, I'll say. Yeah. And she's instantly panicked about it. And
Maury Benches.
Maury Benches?
How much does
is
he
that
bench?
His real last name?
Maury Benches. I'm not making a joke here. His name is Maury Benches.
Well,
I'm trying to, though.
Give him time.
You're failing, buddy.
He's like, "You got to meet me. You just have to." I can't remember what all he says, but he's like,
he
be
probably
here.
Threatens her a little.
Yeah, yeah. The reason that she recognizes his voice is because this is not the first time he has threatened her.
Yeah.
The reason that she left, I'm going to assume, is because he was also like, "Hey, be with me or I'll kill you or kill myself."
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the kind of guy he...
Johnny'd from the OC, stood on the top of a tall rock, said, "I'll do this now."
Is this, Cassie, is this the latest into a Spider-Man bit that we mentioned?
This truly is. I'm very proud of you guys.
He's her piece of shit boyfriend from high school. We'll keep getting into more things he reveals disgustingly throughout the episode.
Yeah, but remember, you relate to him, so don't forget that the more we talk to him.
We've declared that multiple times. So for the rest of this segment, you are Hydro Man, and Hydro Man is you.
Fucking Wait. Know this as we
no,
continue
just
on.
Just that is double chin while he's built.
No. Take a mirror. Look inside.
I've taken a real mirror, and it upsets me. I refuse to take an emotional mirror.
So she goes to leave, and it's very abrupt. So Peter's like, "That was weird. I'm going to follow her as Spider-Man."
But no, she tells, because Peter's like, "Can I come with you?" And she's like, "No, and don't follow me." And his gross inner monologue says she told Peter Parker not to follow her, but she didn't say anything about Spider-Man.
All right, so this is where Mike tries to defend the fact that he's clearly Hydro-Man, so he wants to point fingers at other dudes.
Yeah, now he's like, "Hey, other dudes are problematic too."
This is legit disgusting.
Hashtag yes all dudes.
If you have to say to yourself, Well, she didn't say Spider-Man can't follow her. You're not a good guy.
Yeah. No, it's not great, Pete.
Not great. So we then cut to, guess where he goes? It's the aquarium. We have to go back.
If there was a fucking museum in Long Beach close to where I live that was just pillows shaped like Ryan, I would go there as well. So it makes sense.
I have a museum in my basement.
It's crazy because he's returning to the scene of the crime with the thing he stole. He's like, look at these pearls. Smart. I got these for you. And they get into like a whole argument thing. And Maury instantly pulls out this daddy issues card in the fight. It's like, at least I never ran out on you like your father. Escalated so much.
He goes so fast from like, I always said I'd give you the world. This is just the down payment with the pearls to... At least I never run out like your dad. Like, he twitched. They have abusive douche down pat, these writers.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss.
I wish that they didn't write all of their teenage characters like as if they were 50-year-olds, like the writers do. But I don't know if we have gotten to know that Mary Jane's dad in this show was an abusive piece of shit.
No, this is how they drop it.
But fucking Maury benches... brings it up as fast as fucking possible. Like, Mary Jane's like, hey, could you pass the salt? She's like, your abusive dad would never pass the salt like I would. Let's go to the aquarium.
He so quickly shows how out of touch he is. He's like, no, but I get it. You broke up with me because I had no car, no cash, no class. And she's like, it's because you're emotionally manipulative. It's not any of the things you just said.
Your personality type is one that might kidnap me and force me to be your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm not going to be with you.
So she dips from this situation, tries to run to a park. Who knows? Mike might know the park. I don't care. It's a park out there.
Central.
There's a fountain. Of course, Central. There's a fountain, though, which is bad because Waterboy can go and turn into that fountain and basically floods that bitch.
And then did you get so excited that a clip we've seen from the intro is we're finally seeing it here?
I also think there's a scene when Peter is labbing it up and beakering it up. Where he pours stuff into a beaker and then like turns it towards the camera.
Yeah.
That's from the intro as well. Joe Perry from Aerosmith, get in here and play the guitar, bro, because stuff is happening.
Radioactive spider blood.
Joe Perry, are you here right now?
Apparently.
Yes. I always talk like this.
So Mary J is basically getting swept away in a river. People in the park are just like, call the police, and my girl, A-Cab Mary J, is like, no, call a lifeguard.
No, she doesn't say that. The other stupid, there's a couple walking.
Yeah.
And one guy, very smartly, says, call the cops, and his stupid bitch wife says, no, call a lifeguard.
All right, settle down on her, by the way.
Okay, Maury benches.
Jesus, are you the next Hydro Man?
She's trying to be so funny.
But it is funny.
But it's pretty good.
He says, because he's a normal person, he says, we should call the police. And then she, because she's in Central Park, says, police, call the lifeguard. And it is difficult to understand what she's saying.
Spider-Man has been following her this whole time. So he, of course, shows up. He goes to attack this man, and he instantly gets sucked into those pecs, and this is when he's like, what the fuck, it's a water dude. And I don't know what all happens down here. They get in a fight or whatever.
Yeah, they punch it up.
Yeah,
they punch, and they fail.
Oh my god, no, I can't move past this. They put him, Hydro Man, this is, he used his one brain cell, and he was like, I know exactly where to put him. We're in New York. Here's a water tower.
baby.
So Spider-Man then busts through the side of it. We then just like kind of go on to the next day. I'm going to say Peter realized he has to come up with a different solution. And this is when he's doing the science shit.
Beaker into beaker, lab into lab.
But so when Spider-Man does like come and walk her away, Mary Jane drops a great bomb because she's like, no. And he's like, what? I'm just trying to help. She's like, I'm just a little tired of weird men making unscheduled appearances in my life.
Yeah.
Tell him, sister.
I don't necessarily know that I'm like a co-star in a TV cartoon, but as far as my experience goes, every person I meet is a fucking whack job. And so I would like a little bit of time away from you people. Away from people that are like something hyphen man. That's what I would love.
No hyphens. She's also against hyphenated last names.
So yeah, he finds the solution. He's done something to his webs where it can grab water. I don't know. Science shit.
Cassie, he poured blue beaker into red beaker, and yes. he made purple beaker.
That's
called science.
MJ is hiding out at her friend's house, which we find out because Peter goes to the diner and asks that friend.
Ladies, can we have a conversation? Mike, if you're hiding me at your apartment.
Yeah.
And Cassie comes in and says, where's Ryan?
I do.
Unlike Liz, I would at least let her finish her full sentence. Peter barely gets the question out, and she's always like, oh, she's at my house. Here's the address.
Here's my address on a card, on a piece of paper. I've texted it to your phone. Here, I'm shining a light onto my address right now.
The key is hidden in this gutter. Liz is not a girl's girl.
No.
I'm a different dude than that creepy dude who's trying to find Mary Jane. So can you give me your address?
So where's she hanging?
Of course I will. No, keep your address hidden.
So yes, they go over there and we see what MJ is up to. She's just writing a letter to her dad. Really digging in. We're seeing some past here. She's getting some feelings out. And then Waterboy shows up because he was overhearing, as he does in the pipes or whatever. So he takes her, puts her in a bubble, and takes her to his home base, which maybe the aquarium. I'm not sure.
It's not
where
the
they
aquarium.
Go.
It's the fucking disgusting river. What is it called? Harvey
the
River?
Hudson.
Harvey Hudson River.
It's the Harvey
It's full
Hudson
of
river.
Trash, Cassie.
The
it's
trash
a water
river.
Plant next to it. It was beautiful during COVID. Whales came back, guys.
Wow. The fucking whales. Anyway, we're here and we get a brings her. He's like, look, I'm this man. I got all this stuff now.
I'm this man.
I'm this dude. Look at me. I'm swole. We get a flashback to how he got his powers and his whole life. We see that he was expelled. He was a little piece of shit kid. He went to the Navy.
It's because she said, I'm breaking up with you. And he goes, it's because I'm not going to make nothing for my life. So he joins the Navy.
Yes.
He joins the Navy, puts a Navy uniform on, like a child. Only children wear those. And then his foot, I was like, where is lightning going to strike this boat, right? But instead, his foot gets caught on a rope, the thing that I wasn't thinking. He gets taken down to the bottom of the sea when the submarine cracks open the earth, which purple stuff comes out.
It's so funny because he was like, I was transferred to special research, which has nothing to do with how he got his powers.
But that's how we knew it's special research.
Some sort of the Meg situation happens where they unlock deep things from below the sea.
Yeah.
Classic Meg situation. But once he got powers, he was like, I'm going to rob banks, obviously, and then go get my girlfriend back by force. I'm going to say, you have to be my girlfriend.
And in all this, she goes like, I'm not a thing. I'm a person. And he's like, I don't want to own you. I want to love you. And I'll flood the city if you don't let me.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes to straight up flood this bitch.
Does he or does he say, I'm going to do it? And then we watch his mind do it. I feel like he says, I'm going to flood the city. And then we watch what he thinks. And then like how the city would flood. And then we cut back to him. And then all he does. And this is fucking classic villain shit. Throws treasure chests of gold around the room.
Yeah, he's just throwing a little baby tantrum.
Yeah, I forgot. He does have a little dragon's hoard of treasure that he got. Before he reached out to MJ, he had mad treasure.
Cassie, you've never been a fucking villain before.
I know.
If you were a villain, the first thing you would do is find mad chests of treasure.
How else are you going to sleep if you're not coiled around your treasure?
I just want gold, so many gold coins to the point where they're soft now. Yes. And I can either sleep on it comfortably or dive straight into it. A fucking gentleman would.
Mike, you've been to New York. There's just treasure chests everywhere for dragons and water boys to steal.
Well, sprinkled throughout the city, there are treasure chests for dragons and or water boys to steal.
Don't come
and
at me with that tone.
Yeah.
I didn't write this, okay?
And by water boy, do you mean like you have to have that perfect Adam Sandler New Orleans accent?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Spider-Man shows up. He gets to use his new science webby on him. It does wrap up Waterboy. MJ escapes. She goes to a paper warehouse or a cardboard warehouse. I'm not positive.
Some sort of warehouse.
A foundry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's use the word foundry. That's fun.
We are rewriting this episode.
I like that the dudes are fine with her running through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the minute Maury benches, walks in, they're like, hey, what the fuck are you doing here? We're fine with hot redheads, but not this mook.
Not this bitch. It's convenient, though, because there is, like, this fire conveyor belt to make whatever the fuck they're making. So MJ just starts using the things to, like, kind of, you know, fuck up his water situation.
I think she throws wet cement on him.
Mm.
That's what it seems to be.
Yeah, it does. It does
I would have
thrown
towels, right? Isn't
yeah,
that the ultimate?
That bitch up.
Yeah.
You could have beat this guy instantly. Nobody threw a towel at this bitch.
Towel? Just throw a fucking dish towel right at his face.
At some point, I realized that this is about the fifth time that Hydro Man says, haven't you figured out yet? This is his catchphrase. Haven't you figured out yet that you can't beat me or that I'm going to win right before something bad happens to him is when he lays that line out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's throwing a lot at him. They make it up to the roof. Spider-Man also shows up, and he's like, are you coming for more or some shit like that? He's like, I don't have to do anything. She's already handled it. You're cut off from your water source, bitch.
I have a prediction. I think that Felicia and Liz are going away. I feel like this
is all
the
about MJ.
Yeah, I think that this is like the Uh-oh. Episode where like MJ is so smart and adorable and kind of a smoke show that it'll be Peter and MJ from here on out.
I would put money on the opposite.
This
is the dirtbaggiest version of Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And he is not going to stop going for the rich chick. He is after Felicia and her money.
At one point, Peter could have said, thank you, MJ, but instead he pulled a drag from a cigar and flicked it in her eye. Like, that's so fucking weird, bro.
Why would you do that?
And then put back his sweater on from the first season. Like, that's an ugly sweater.
And just to add the dramatics to it, like he basically evaporates and she's like, oh my God, did he die? And Peter Parker's like, no, dude, there's a water cycle on Earth. Have you heard of it?
I mean, I know I'm one of the best scientists, but
negging 101.
There is water everywhere, you fucking dumb ginger.
It fucking evaporates, it goes up into the clouds and it gets rained down again. That's how Earth do. So speaking of, we of course they go to the carnival, Peter and MJ.
No, okay, cut to, yes. We're at the Coney Island. Now go.
Sorry, Coney Island. And it starts to rain up there. It doesn't affect their mood. They still get a little smooch in. End of episode.
A couple questions. Cassie, Neo Genesis Nightmare Part 3.
Yeah.
How so?
It's, you know, his DNA is still doing shit.
Okay.
I was like, no, they talked about it. It was only in the previously on, wasn't it?
The previously on, yeah.
Is this whole season, it's just Spider-Man, the animated series, season 2, : Neo Genesis Nightmare.
Yes.
Because, yeah, this is a standalone.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're bullshit.
There should have been one scene of, like, Kingpin going, like, oh, maybe Hydra-Man should be in my team. And then he watches a little bit of video of Hydra-Man. He's like, absolutely not. That would have made it part 3. Just
I
that
work with
scene.
A lot of idiots, but this is too dumb.
Second, Cassie, we didn't bring up the fact that when Hydra Man was about to lose his powers, the scream that he let out, do you guys remember this scream? He screamed at the top of his lungs.
I actually don't. Was
I
it
don't.
Like...
Oh, my God. Producer Dave, can you edit that scream in to hear right now? 3, 2, 1.
Ah! Man, Producer Dave's so good at his job.
He's so good. That is that's a good scream.
And that was Rob Paulsen. Do you guys know who Rob Paulsen is?
No.
No.
The voice
Senator?
Actor. He's the guy from I think he is Wacko, the Animaniac.
On that fun fact, let's go move on to our web beasts, which are the awards we give away for Spider-Man. To start this off, let's go with best web zinger. Mike, what do you got for it?
I have it. It was the thing I made fun of. Call the police. No, call a lifeguard.
it's fucking good. See, it's a good line, and it deserves respect. Ryan, what do you got?
Should we start a whole trend of all lifeguards are bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we do A-Lab?
A-Cal? Wait. All a No, you were right.
All cops are lifeguards. No,
all cops are lifeguards. And all lifeguards are bastards.
I'm sorry, Cassie, but this is so classic. Did you say hydrant man? The dogs must love you.
That is good.
He thinks so that good. That like he's a big villain, and then dogs come over to pee on him.
So good.
What a good burn of, I'm going to pretend to mishear you.
No. I know that you said hydro man, and yet that doesn't work with my joke, bro, so I'm going to do this.
For best web zinger, I put just kind of when Hydro Man was making fun of himself and he said, I have no car, no cash, or no class. Fucking good, dude. Fucking good shit. I am going to give that one to you, though, Ryan, because Hydrant Man killed it on that one.
What do you think, like 45 points?
I'll give you 3 points. That's fun. Just as good as 45, some would say. That's a good amount of points. Enjoy those. Let's move on to Kung Fu Grip or Best Move or Power. Ryan, what do you got for it?
I don't know what to do right now, and my powers are failing me. And also, like, we spent, like, the last, what, 2 episodes with Spider-Man's, like, not having powers. So I'm going to fucking put a... I'm going to put one of my web cartridges right in this, potentially, we don't know. Like this animal, it could be endangered. We don't care, but this eel is going to bite down on my web, and that's how I'm going to get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Hey, if something endangered is trying to eat me, I'm going to eat it first. I get it, Spider-Man.
It's just the type of guy Mike is.
Even though I am their type of food and they are not my type of food, I'm going to fucking eat it.
King of the jungle, the underwater jungle.
Mike, the apex predator.
I eat so many bees.
Bees?
Bees. Just because I think they're going to attack me. Bees, B-E-E-S, bees.
Cool. You're a cool guy, dude.
See who brings in more honey.
Mike, what do you got for best mover power?
Yeah, it's MJ pouring liquid concrete onto Hydro Man. It's so good fucking shit. Smart.
It's a power move. I'd say you guys are both wrong, though, because it's the ability when you are a water man to suck people into your pecs. So,
is it pecs or like when Hydro Man took Mary Jane into the water with him? Right, like he took her into the Hudson River with him.
Gross, bad. Move.
She's just in her in his butthole, right?
Like in his ball sack.
She is up his butthole.
His watery butthole.
I was going to give myself points for it, but now you guys threw it out there that it might also be a butthole situation, so I can't. And now I'm panicking and giving myself 2 points. Enjoy the mic.
God damn it.
I always do.
How did I know that would backfire?
Now let's go to most 90s thing. Mike, what do you got for it?
The fact that somebody can call a diner. And the person they're trying to reach is there. That's 90s as hell.
Yeah.
That's 70s and 80s and 60s and 50s.
Never heard of those. It's 90s as hell. Doesn't it happened exist. On Seinfeld.
Hey, Ryan?
Yeah.
It happened on Seinfeld.
Oh, it happened on Seinfeld.
What do you got for most 90s thing, though?
When Peter went to that fucking lab and he was like, purple beaker, blue beaker.
That's pretty 1930s.
That makes red beaker. No. That was invented in... That's how they invented the 90s,
beakers,
bro.
The 30s loved beakers.
They fucking classically loved beakers.
Now, he poured one beaker into another and invented science.
No, Frankenstein did that, man. That's from, like, the 1800s.
Get
who
wrecked.
Who are you gonna believe, Cassie?
Get fucking wrecked, Ryan.
Get wrecked.
I interrupted her insulting me.
Rookie mistake.
For most 90s thing, mine is close to Mike's, but it's that the... waitress at the diner, in order to pass on this message to Mary J, spoke in pig Latin for reasons that are unknown.
Oh, I was going
to
ask you, Cassie, like, because you're a classic girl, when did you stop only speaking in pig Latin?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that they did is like, hey, I'm a girl, you're a girl.
There's
pig Latin. Here we go. You'll understand it and nobody else will.
Nobody can catch on to what we're doing here.
Do you still use it?
All the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Is pig Latin ig Latin pay?
Ig Latin.
Or ig pay atin lay?
Pig. Ig.
Is it every word?
Yeah, it's every word.
I'm going to go to Duolingo and brush up on my pig Latin.
We all need it. But you guys are clearly wrong. I'm clearly right. I'm going to give myself 3 points. Go me. Our next one is New York is a character. Mike, what do you got for it?
It's going down to Coney Island, and it sucks. At the end, they think it's going to be great, and it's raining, and it's actually bullshit, and you're like, why did I spend 2 hours in the train to get to this bullshit place?
Hey, Mike, the time that I spent in New York, which is called watching Seinfeld reruns, has taught me that, like, it's literally the end of the train. Like,
yes.
You have to go all the way down, and then you're there.
Some of us on this show maybe got so drunk they passed out on the train and woke up there before. It happens.
That seems kind of why it was made to be put at the end of the line, just to fuck with drunk people.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's carnivals.
It's like, now you're at heaven, and heaven sucks.
Enjoy this. This is where you belong.
Is it expensive, too? Like, do you have to pay a lot of money to do all that shit? Of course.
Like a thing of ride. It's not like buy your way in. You can just wander around, but everything costs money.
And that Wonder Wheel, that's like $17?
Yep.
Fucking Coney Island.
Fucking Coney Island. What do you got for this?
What are we doing?
New York is a character.
Oh, I have to. There's a couple that is witnessing superhero battles. And the one guy's like, we should call the police. And then his fucking wife, I think, is like, what? No, we shouldn't do that. We're in New York right now. I'm going to go get pizza. I'm going to get hit by a taxi. And I'm going to say, we should call the lifeguards. That is the most New York person I've ever seen on the show in the history of me watching the show.
We are begging for a spinoff about this couple.
Just a reality. Like, let's put cameras in their house and let's see what it's like.
Superheroes might fly by the window, but most of the time, no. It's just how these couple lives together.
You said if I bring out this 1,000-piece puzzle, you would do it with me, and you're giving up on 250 pieces.
It's my back, Luann.
Okay, you can't just say that your name is Luann because my name is Luann.
Save this, guys. Write this down. This could be something one day. Don't give it all out for free.
She was the most New York person, including Peter Parker, that has ever been on the show.
But those two security guards at the beginning, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So
also,
I don't
the stinky Hudson River.
I don't think you're going to win this, because I also have Coney Island as New York as a character, because it's a place in New York, and they mentioned it. So that's how this works.
Well, I guess I'm screwed because of cheating.
And since Mike got what I got, he automatically wins it, which means he's going to get 2 points, if I could do it. Our final one is the Cassie compliment. Compliment me through this episode, Ryan.
My Cassie compliment was that if I have to, give, and let's stop fucking around, okay? Here we go.
Take this seriously.
Cassie is so much better than an eel. Because she is constantly, her mouth is filled with Mike and Ryan web cartridges, and she keeps persevering. No, she kept persevering, much like Congress said at one point about some lady that was very important. That's what Cassie does, and she is like that eel.
Thank you so much. That might be the nicest thing you ever said about me. I appreciate this. Mike, strong competition. What do you got for this?
At one point, Mary Jane Watson says, I'm not a thing, I'm a person. Mm-hmm. And I went, do you know who's not a thing but is a person? My good friend Cassie.
I am a person. I am a person, but most importantly, I'm also an eel. So I am going to give this one to Ryan. Ryan, you're going to get 3 points because I really appreciate you calling me an eel.
Not an eel.
Not an eel.
Or the most powerful
say,
eel.
You're... mouth was filled with Mike and Ryan web cartridges.
I don't think we have to talk to Cassie while she's trying to decide who gets the points.
I've already written them down, so I can't go back. So that is the end of this. At the end, I got 3 points. Mike, nice. You got, it looks like 5. And I'm going to say Ryan got about 6. I don't. So he just snuck by there. He's the Spider-Man boy this week. He's the winner. Congrats, Ryan.
I have so many people to thank. Obviously, my publicist, Douche Belouche, who has always made sure that I am on the front page of every podcast magazine. Even the important ones like Sports Podcasting and Podcasting Monthly and Podcasting Weekly and Podcasting Yearly.
Are you going to be in the podcast swimsuit edition?
Yeah, I also want to thank my swimsuit designer, Jello Biallo, who has put me in the perfect swimsuit where I look great and my nipples look better. He has designed it in such a way where my nipples look like me.
That's really impressive.
Yeah.
All right. Well, That's it for
obviously
the
I have to thank my manager, whose name is Bob DaBob. I have to thank Mike and Cassie so much for, I don't know, just like Cassie awarded me the victory, and yeah. Mike sucked so bad that like I won it, and so that's awesome.
Mike, I will never let this guy win again. This is my promise.
But like, I thought I had it in the bag, but no, no, no.
Oh shit! Are you guys on stage right now? I don't think so.
Oh,
and then of course my fans, my ride guys, and all my ride guys. This is for you. This is for you. God bless. Good night. Gazoom tight. In case you just sneezed, I'm about to sneeze. Good night.
Boo. That's it for the show. Please subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts, or catch every episode on YouTube at Your Pop Filter. We're also got some websites. Mike, give us the website details.
Popfilter.co is where we put everything, and then throw a little slash Amazon at the end of that. Popfilter.co/Amazon. Bookmark it. That's how you shop now. No arguing. You shop that way, and it helps us.
We also have another show on the network, Ryan.
Well, another website real quick, Cassie, is bestdinosaur.com, where you go and you fucking have those dinosaurs fight it out. Like, if you think that T-Rex is better than a Stegosaurus,
you're wrong.
Idiot.
You're a chump. You're a chud.
You're an idiot.
Like, fucking.
You're kind of a bandwagon fan.
Yeah. You're an idiot. Or if you wanted more podcasts, Movie of the Year is going on right now. The three of us, me, Mike, and Cassie, are doing the best of the year 2023, and we swear to God, that is almost over. And then Movie of the Year is going to be tackling 1984.
I do think in 4 days' time from when this drops, best movie of 2023 comes out.
Yeah.
And then we have best album versus TV comedy, TV drama versus movie, and then, yeah, let's just keep it rolling.
Four more years.
Reagan.
It's what the people want.
Well,
we are also on social media. We're at Your Pop Filter on Instagram. We also got an email. It's contact@popfilter.co. You can send us any questions, any comments, any concerns over there. If you want to compliment Ryan's nipples, I guess, from the bathing suit he's in, go for it.
My nipples are in the shape of Mike. That feels like it deserves a compliment or an insult.
Impressive.
At least.
Do you know how long that took? You tattoo wearing motherfuckers. That takes like 3 hours, Mike? How long does that take?
It depends on the size. It could be everywhere from, an hour.
Do you understand how long it took to put a Mike-shaped waffle iron to my nipples?
30 seconds. 30 waffle seconds.
The worst. But like, I had to get them hoard.
That's so important. Well, anyway, you guys, next week we got a great episode. X-Men 91 is going to debut. Plus, the X-Men are on Spider-Man, the animated series. Plus,
what?
The X-Men are probably on Resident Alien. It's an X-Men episode. Let's go. That is it for this week, though. For Mike, I'm Ryan. For Ryan, I'm Mike. For me, I am me. Bye, everyone.
No.